Okay, this is the Steve Eagle, Dennis Daly. Do you want to introduce yourselves? I don't know if there's new people who may not know exactly who you all are.
We can do that. Hi, I'm Ludell. I'm the president of KVEV.
Hello, I'm Alesh. I'm the guy from the last presentation, and I'm the vice president of the KDEV.
Hello, I'm Albert. I'm the guy from a few presentations ago, and I'm a board member.
Hi, I'm Sandro. I'm a board member for the last 48 hours, I think. So you shouldn't ask me anything. I will probably let the guys answer you.
Actually, like to ask the audience something. We are not that many, but I'm wondering how many are not members of KDEV. Can everyone who's not a member raise their hand? Do you want to be members?
Okay, this is a question and answer session. So, questions?
So, even though you said we shouldn't ask you questions. I would like to ask you, how did you feel welcomed by the board? Was it a nice experience so far?
Be careful with what you say.
Yeah, yeah. So that's been a very warmly welcome. So we had some dinner and some food. I'm still getting used to the things, so I don't have many experience to share with you so far. But I'm very happy to have the chance to work with these guys. I've been having some conversations for some time for doing some things for KDE in Brazil and in Latin America. So I guess that's going to run very smoothly.
So besides being very nice and taking Sandro out for dinner, we already kind of drowned him in documents to read and accounts to get and so on. So, he is through the worst, I guess.
Really?
So, the first question about my thinking, we have about, 250 people in the EV now, members?
Well, for the AGM, it was 150 total.
So, has it been growing slowly?
As active members.
Has it been growing slowly over time?
The active members? The active members actually decreased from last year, not by a lot.
Well, I was thinking more in general. Is there a trend now?
I'm not sure we have plotted it. I would have to plot it, but I
just wondered.
Don't have the numbers.
Let's get the numbers. That will send the thing.
Yeah, but that was voting people, not
it had
active
total,
people.
It had the total. Yeah. You just say things, I will take the laptop.
Well,
la.
The important, I guess, but do you think that we need to grow EV, or is it a good size?
I think we need to make sure everybody that needs to be on the EV is on the EV.
So it's not about
it. That's not, like, it's not about the EV itself. It should be a reflect, that's not the word. It should reflect the community, right? So. Wouldn't make sense to grow the EV just because growing the EV doesn't have a purpose. I mean, it does have a purpose.
Okay.
I found the numbers, and actually he was right. The total number of members is missing on most years. But what I know is that on 2005, it was 123, 2012 it was 165, and now it's 153, so it's a bit like this. But yeah, and personally, I think that having a lot of members is not required. The important thing is to having a lot of people who do things, right? And actually, the good question would be how many people we had back then, how many people we have now. And actually, it's something we cannot know because it's not countable, maybe, or maybe it is. I don't know. Metrics person is.
Hello. What is your responsibility of members of KDEP and how to become a member of this organization?
Just to make sure I understand you correctly, you asked what the responsibility of the KDEV is and how to become a KDEV member.
What's the responsibility of members?
Okay. So to stay an active member, you have to either attend the AG...
members of the board.
This is members rather than the board.
Okay. Yeah. So you, as a member, you should attend the General Assembly, which is once a year before or during academy. You can send a proxy for that. If you don't do that twice in a row, then you become a passive member. Other than that, there are no strict requirements of anything you need to do. But in order to really move the organization and the KDE community forward, it is of course important that our members take an active role and do things in the association, like help us with organizing things and reporting things, this kind of stuff. To become a member, you find an existing member and see if they would like to propose you as a new member. Then you fill out a small survey that is available on ev.kde.org. And the member who proposes you then sends that to the membership mailing list where two people have to say, yes, I agree with this, this person should become a member. And then there's a vote. And if that is positive, you are a member.
More questions?
And then you become famous, and there's autographs, people cheer you on the street, and you get to decide for free software.
And we teach you the secret handshake. Did we forget you? I'm sorry. We will finish that after this session.
I would say that doing free software is more than doing the software itself. There are other aspects, and without an organization around it, it's basically impossible. Academy is impossible without the EV. Sprints are impossible without the EV. If people value those assets that the EV provides, I think they should join. Also, mailing lists, servers, all these kind of things. Without the EV are almost impossible to keep in a sane way, I'd say.
Also, it helps the EV being representative. Like the more people we have, the more points of view and different roles of those people we have. So it's not like we only do sprints for coders because there's no artist, right? So if we have more artists, then they would say, yeah, we need, also need, like, the more people we are there, the better we are, basically.
More questions?
Following up from the... Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. I'm one of those non-EV members. And then the other question. What I feel the benefit of EV would be for me is information. And I'm not sure if you like this about an open organization as KDE should be. We produce open source software. That in my feeling, I know it's hard to like to organize academia and this stuff, and there's much to do, but still I see a neglection in the openness, because I'm now a member of the community mailing list since last academy. And for example, especially the point of academy is for me a point where there's very much, maybe not because of because we want it to keep hidden, but because it's much work. But for example, for this year's academy, there wasn't even an open call for hosts. There was like, I think there could be like announcements on the community mailing list. Hey, Laconia gave a bit, this city gave a bit. Last year, I did look a bit at how Gudeg is, how Gnome is doing this, and Gudeg. And they have them on Wiki, and they have the bits public, they have even information like how much did it cost, mm-hmm. how much
I understand.
Attendees and such things.
So this year was a bit special in that regard. And there was no bidding process, so there were also no bids to be published. The reason for that is that we originally intended to do Academy in Berlin with another partner. That took a very long time to get together a local team that had potential for that. And it was very important for that partner to have that in Berlin at a certain time. Ultimately, way too late in the process, this fell through. They bailed out. So we, as the board, basically had to do last minute talking to people we know to get this event rolling. And I'm very thankful for the local team here who agreed to what was kind of crazy. this shouldn't have happened again. In this case, it was unfortunately a bit out of our hands. But I agree with you in the future that should be better.
Also, if you had been a member, you probably wouldn't. You mentioned that the only benefit for you would have been having more information. I'm actually not sure we gave the information earlier to the members. So you wouldn't have, your benefit wouldn't be have more information. I don't think we give much more information to the members than we give to the public. Like, almost everything we try, we give. I mean, there is discussions, right? Those discussions are private, but the outcome of them, I mean, I'm biased, right? Because I know everything, so it's hard for me to know what other people don't know, but I have the feeling that we, at least, by definition, we try to tell everybody. I mean, we might miss some things.
Yeah, but that was exactly my point. Like, could we move more discussions into the open? Discussions, information, like, maybe before posting it to the EV mailing list, think about, is this secret information, could this be shared with the community mailing list?
Actually, we are ready to do that. Maybe we should send more things to the community mailing list, but whenever there's something to be communicated, we always discuss. Maybe we can put it to the community mailing list. And, well, when you see that we do, it's because we decided. And actually, if you ask a member, you will see that the traffic is not huge over there. And actually, mostly the traffic that it's on the membership mailing list is because there's things that we need to figure out, and that we need to figure out as a an organization, right?
There was a discussion, I believe it was last year, maybe 2 years ago, about why it was exactly what Stephanie said, and that's when the community analyst, KDE community analyst, was created. And I've seen people bring things up on the EV list. If somebody says, should we just be on the community list, and it can go. So I think it was possible to be on the community list, as well as some. Which happened, yes.
the type of discussion that happens with the healing list, which I feel shouldn't really happen there, mostly starts when someone has a plan and doesn't want to go public with it, because websites like Phoronix will start running with it, and they want to avoid that. On the other hand, the discussions that then follow are often, in my opinion, completely out of place with the emailing list. I'm just as guilty as anyone because I joined those discussions with film and figure, but they shouldn't be there, and I don't have a solution for that either. But it's something that nags at me pretty much all the time.
Yeah, it's hard to draw the boundary. For example, the GNOME Foundation mailing list, it's all public, as far as I understand. But also, as far as I understand, there is a non-official group of people that mail each other that happen to be on the foundation for the things that they don't want to go public. So it's the thing, right? You make it everything public, and then it doesn't mean everything will be public anyway, because people will start mailing themselves.
There was this blog by a new GNOME board member who was like, oh, I'm a new member, this is exciting. I'm suddenly getting access to all kinds of secret mailing lists, which was a bit embarrassing, of course. And I don't know whether that blog is still available.
So as a new board member of KDEV, you only get access to one secret mailing list, and that is the board mailing list.
What secret can you tell it?
Clearly, the secret handshake is not a mailing list.
you learn it in the street, dude.
More questions?
I have another question. Where I also did not find information what exactly it was, and I don't know if it's public. There was a month ago or so, there was a mail, this project is no longer a KDE project, it did, could you maybe, if it's like non-sensitive information, because it would be interesting to know like what a project has to do to no longer be a KDE project, so that like...
So are you talking about, what is it, Ring? Yeah, that basically wasn't discussed on a membership mailing list as far as I know. So that is not an EV thing.
Yeah, but could you maybe now tell what or where exactly the breach in the because I didn't find anything. I was looking at the project and was like, okay, what did it do wrong to get stripped of the status?
I don't know what they did, but maybe someone else.
As far as I know, they were not complying 100% with the manifesto. Mm-hmm. There were some issues that they didn't want to comply, and but the manifesto is the reason to stay and the thing to comply. Right?
So the developer of Ring KDE is Aran, is named Emmanuel something, I don't remember. You can ask him, because like he still likes us and doesn't like his previous employer, so we were not the bad people in this thing.
Well, maybe it's useful that the one thing that makes KDE is that if you've got KDE commit access, you can work on any project that exists. Which obviously gets impossible if the source code is not in the KDE infrastructure. So if you want to have a KDE project, don't host it in GitHub.
What about clones?
There's many projects who have clones on GitHub. And
the question is, what about clones?
There's some projects that have clones. We don't have a GitHub release anyway.
As I understand, the issue with Librium was that their primary development was on GitHub and they had a clone on the KDE service rather than the other way around.
It's where you make your releases from.
But then they weren't willing to change that.
The KDE app is that he was not going to.
But I don't think that the question. I don't think that the question was whether it was a problem or not. He was just complaining that he didn't know about the backstory.
So that entire thing happened basically within the 6 hours of tea. Didn't really bring up the impact. More questions?
Just to follow up on that. I mean, I understand why would you want to know. I wanted to know, and everybody wanted to know, but there's some things that maybe it makes sense not saying, like, we kicked out someone. I mean, let's imagine someone does sexual harassment, right?
Yeah.
You want to keep it as, I don't know, maybe you don't want to, yeah, like, the people, like, need to know basis, right? Sure, it's not a good comparison, but it is similar, right? So they broke the manifesto, which is it's breaking our laws, right? So.
Yeah. I also wanted to know because, like, maybe that would have, I mean, it was just interesting because to know what does it take to be a KDE project. Yeah.
So I have to say I'm not KDE and well connected, and I also didn't know anything about this. And actually, I find this a bit worrying, that kind of the judges are sitting in the sysadmin team and are just taking decisions and nobody knows about it. I think transparency in these things is really important, especially if it's about our identity and who is part of our community and who not. I think we should really try to not go overboard with the manifesto as some kind of law and all kind of people starting to make judgments based on this perceived law and throwing out projects. And when this happens, I would really love to see some mechanisms which make sure that we have some more information and communication about that. So that's, I'm not sure who and how this should make happen, but in the end, I think that's something where EV and maybe the board can set an example and set expectations so that things like that happen in a more transparent way. I think that's important for us as a community.
Well, maybe it's not about transparency per se, it's more about processes, right? I mean, the process needs to be transparent, maybe the outcome doesn't really need to be all that transparent. But I agree that sysadmin probably has a lot of power nowadays, and it's not only on this subject. I was talking to a sysadmin person a couple of days ago, and yeah. So it's definitely there needs to be more communication in some areas, but that's why we're here, right?
That is one reason we need to trust our citizens, because they do have great power. They have great power whether they choose to administer it or not, which is why the WAFH from the panel columns were so hilarious, because those things were all could have been true.
But it's not about trust, it's about sharing the weight.
More questions? We've got about 5 minutes left.
Nobody is asking anything, I'll just say something. So there is lots of KDEV members here. I like to encourage them to run for the board. It is a very important place. We will eventually have people that whose terms run out, like mine next year. So it is good that people think about their future on the EV. And
do you plan to run again?
It's 1 year in the future, who knows?
David Cameron's called us already.
Do you plan to run?
No.
Why not?
Give
him the microphone, please.
I'm asthmatic, but I do mind. It was a clever play on the word.
It was not clever, David.
Let you down.
It was cheeky and low.
I'm on the spot.
So who is going to apply for the board? Anyone? No? Well, you can think about it.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun, actually.
You're out.
You don't agree?
conference.
I agree, but I won't think about it.
I think you already thought about it. At least for a part of a second, you are seeing yourself back to the board with our secret handshake.
Wait, you're bored of the second secret.
Of course.
We can end on a fluffy question. What's your favorite thing about KDE?
Oh, KDE. Yeah. That we have a nice desktop. I'm sorry. KDE, of course, the people is what everyone says, right? Although what I like about KDE is that I can do my thing and reach to people, makes an impact. I think this is awesome. It's impossible to do something like that anywhere else so easily and with so such good company. It's the place to do things and have an impact, even if it's just on some geeks or maybe not that geeks, but still odd people. It's really cool.
Comparing to some other communities I'm a part of, I think it's most amazing that at our size we managed to have a relatively diverse and different community and still manage to have useful conversations without screaming at each other. I think that's amazing.
I have to say something. I don't know.
Alessandro, you can think about it.
The coolest thing about KDE, people is the more often answer for that. But I think that's also a great opportunity to make you being often a little bit outside of your comfort zone for having new challenges and just to keep yourself pushing yourself a little bit each day. So it's a very cool place for learning and for sharing experience and to leave the benefits of free software to all parts of the world. So
now you. Yeah, just told something that I just thought about. The learning part is awesome, and it's not only the learning part, that the people will let you do things, right? I remember back when I was young, so there was this KPDF thing, and it needed porting to XPDF 3 something, right? And I sent an email saying, yeah, I'll do it, like, how hard can it be, right? And nobody said, no, you're too newbie, right? Because I was a newbie back then, and it took me months of holidays to do it, but I did it eventually, right? So there's this, sure you can try, right? And nobody will tell you, nobody will shut you down. And that's pretty neat.
Okay, that's all we've got time for. So thank you to the